Everybody get your Easter egg this morning?
Yeah.
Did you open your Easter egg yet this morning? Yeah, you got some nice sweet things and I think some little flowers and things in some. Maybe I'd get flowers in yours or anything. Oh, that's nice. Good. Good, good, good. I was thinking as Kathy was talking about us remembering Easters and stuff that as a child, you know, children have the way of asking the most honest questions in faith and spirituality, and I had lots of questions, and I asked them and this and that, but the one thing that I never questioned was the miracle of Easter, and I'll tell you why. There was a very simple reason for that. We did sunrise service every year without fail, and I knew it was a miracle. I knew something very, very special had happened. Because it was the only time during the year that the Methodists and Baptists spoke to each other. It's true. Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, thank you. Hallelujah, we're here today. Thank you so much for your rising spirit. Thank you so much for every single person who is here, the journey that we took to get here today, both literally and metaphorically. Today we gather with your saints, all of those we have loved, those angels and archangels who have gone before us and proclaim, holy, holy, holy is your good news. We have been on the way to something good. And here we are. Come. Open the eyes of our hearts, open our minds to your living word this Resurrection Sunday. In your beautiful names we pray, amen. Resurrection Sunday is celebrated in the Northern Hemisphere on just after the first full moon after the spring equinox. It corresponds with the season. And we celebrate with all kinds of other religions, you know, lots of nature-based religions at this time of year. And Easter is full of symbols of fertility and fecundity. The F words come out today. The first flowers usually have to be bulb-based in order to be strong enough. You know, the bulbs are strong enough because they kind of generated a lot of energy during the year, and they had to be strong enough to kind of push up through that cold earth to be the first ones to reach the sun, sharing their bright blossoms with the grateful bees before the less hardy plants are able to come into leaf again. We have bunnies and eggs and chicks and peeps that taste so good, and I have no idea why, as an adult, that sugar on a marshmallow still seems like such a treat. And if you let them sit out for a day or two, they get a little bit stale, and they're even better. Spoken from a connoisseur. We have bunnies and chicks and eggs, and they represent the great spring fling of reckless love as nature renews itself. During the full moon last week, the lake behind my house reverberated with a mighty chorus of frogs, calling out in the night for another, calling out to find another and mate. And for a brief moment, a brief shining moment, it made me wonder why we don't have the Easter frog instead of the Easter bunny. But I quickly put that thought away because it was far too complex to contemplate. Think of the logistics of the Easter frog having to carry Easter baskets. Need I say more? Mind-blowing. But a few years ago, in my ministry with MCC, I found myself ministering all the way at the tip of the Southern Hemisphere, at the tip of Africa. And the irony is that there we still followed the same liturgical calendar set by the European churches. Easter, down there, came as autumn began to move into winter. It was a strange juxtaposition to have merchandise from up north of bunnies and green grass and daffodils and pastel eggs and spring colors, as the earth around us had browned and seemed quite exhausted from bearing up through the long, hot summer. Nature wasn't quite ready yet for regeneration there. It needed to seed, and it needed to rest before it began its heroic journey to a new greening season. You know, Jesus once taught something similar. Just before he entered into his final week's journey, he offered this teaching to his friends. He said, "Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal." My friends, this is the law of the greening. It is behind the idea of dying to something old in order to be born into something new. It remains a mystery, the actual energy behind the greening. But it is a truth, nevertheless, that we can count on. And you know, the longer I live, the less I am sure of what I know. And that's an irony to be someone who's supposed to speak to you as if I do. But there's an important lesson that I have learned and continue to learn more each and every day. And that is, the only way to move forward is to let go. Can I say that again? The only way to move forward is to let go. And the resurrected Christ is meant to remind us of the greening promise. The light that will come after the darkness of the long night of letting go and dying to the old. The accounts of the resurrection in the Gospels are told not in the language of CNN or, thank God, Fox News. They are written in the language of the soul. These beautiful images and metaphors and all of the things that they're trying to convey something powerful to speak directly to our souls. The story of the resurrection is trying to speak as deeply into our souls as possible. It says to our souls, there will be suffering in your life. There will be confusion. There will be injustice. There will be eclipses and earthquakes. There will be deaths and grievings so hard to take that you think that life thereafter will be impossible. And there will be tombs, dark places of the unknown that will touch on your deepest fears, from which you will be too frightened to even venture out into the light again. But it is in these descents where the greening spirit will find you, my friends. And in spirit's mysterious way, she will nurture life from you once again, from the smallest seed of faith that you one time let fall into the grounding of your soul. And the promise today is you will grow into something tall and true anew. Now, isn't that something good? Let the image of the resurrected Christ be your greening seed this morning. Plant that image deep into yourself with faith, in the greening power behind it. Plant it as deeply as you can this Easter. Just reach in there right now. Plant it deeply, deeply, deeply. And one day, I know this, one day when your soul is exhausted and it has fallen and is lying on the ground once again, in time, it will feel the Spirit's greening touch that you planted in this resurrection image, maybe quite faintly at first, but then step by step, your soul will lead you in how to let go in order to move forward again. Reverend Nancy Wilson, the moderator of our denomination, reminded us in her Lenten reflection for today that the soul language of earthquakes included in Matthew's account of Christ's death and resurrection was an attempt to help us see that the intervention that God brought through Christ, the Christ event, with Christ's world-changing view of a radically equitable kingdom of God was the really real plane of existence, as directly opposed to our inequitable, violent, suffering-producing kingdoms and empires. This was a message that we see in the soul language of earthquakes that has cataclysmic proportions. There is nothing easy about this vision. And we have staked our lives in this community, our faith lives, on this vision of this radically equitable kingdom, but there is nothing easy about it. It continues to shake us to our foundations just when we get all comfortable and nice and proud of ourselves, especially for our inclusion. Pay attention, we're going to get shaken again. The language of the soul says it's not done till it's done, until the full equitable kingdom happens in this world among us, life by life, person by person. It will shake us to our foundations. It will remain larger than our own understanding, and it will be greater than any religion will ever be able to express. And this actually terrifies us. We prefer the known economies, and the known societies that we construct, however painful, to the breadth of a vision of a loving existence that is beyond anything we have yet imagined or been able to create together here on sentient earth. This kingdom vision is only in its infancy among the human race. I'm pretty clear about that. This kingdom vision is only in its infancy among the human race. My guess is that we are still just struggling with the basics before we can really get to the good stuff. We are on the way to something good, but we are only at the beginning of the kingdom. And you know what? It will take daily bravery to live into the kingdom that the resurrection of Christ represents. A kingdom where there is no separation between ourselves and God and one another. As love, something we participate in but can never fully express in language, becomes an uncompromising teacher in the way of the greening for us Homo sapiens. Love will become our uncompromising teacher that invites us and calls us into the way of the greening. And you know what? Things will have to change. We will have to continue to seek the grace to change if we are to expect the greening to continue. And it's going to take forgiveness, lots of it, for genuine and just love to grow anew. The early Christ followers knew this. It is one of the reasons why they knew that a great symbol of forgiveness and redemption would be needed if humans in their day were ever to trust that new beginnings were really possible and that there was a grace ready to meet them in the time of the falling and the dying to the old. This resurrected Christ became the symbol of the redeemed soul. The soul that God cared enough to buy back from the laws of sin and death that humans were held captive by. And what is really wild, we still spend so much time in our tombs. So much time with that which has been long dead. And with the fears that might as well be soldiers sealing a stone across our own souls, preventing the possibility of an angel of hope sneaking in to call us out into further life, out into resurrection and renewal for ourselves and others and all in this good kingdom that is truer than any eye has been able to see thus far. Do you really think that Jesus of Nazareth would have wanted to come back out of the tomb after what the world had just done to him? Do you not think that Jesus of Nazareth would have had post-traumatic stress disorder? And would have understandably wanted to skip having to make guest appearances again among his cruel and fickle and violent people, diseased to the core with oppression sickness after years of merciless occupation? Wouldn't it have been understandable if he would have just preferred to ascend from either inside the tomb or better yet off the cross itself? That sounds really good. But that is not the kind of Christ he became. Jesus of Nazareth promised to become the kind of Christ that would be a soul language of grace and truth that could walk with us through it all. And one of the truths that makes my soul trust the Christ that he became, even in this age when phenomena like resurrections are hard to frame in our contemporary cognitive minds, I trust because I have lived long enough to also know that in every falling to greening journey the Spirit brings us through, we too at some point will be asked again to have the courage to walk out into the world where there is much to fear, but even more to love. My friends, may you walk out into that brave new world as you leave this place this Easter morning. May you be blessed with the seeds for genuine resurrection today. It's a soul thing, and it's something good. Let the greening begin. Amen.
Amen.